This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But the construct of this team has largely been very, very successful. So when you're in a moment like this that feels frustrating, I look less at big picture and look more at small picture. I think the Niners are just in a spot. How quickly can you get out of the spot? You have a new defensive staff. They're feeling each other out. Is it a good hire or a bad? I don't know yet. You have some new personnel. You're obviously missing some key personnel. Dre Greenlaw, they're really missing that guy. Golly, I think they're missing him more than any of the offensive players we talk about. If there's one person that I could rewind and make healthy, it would be Dre Greenlaw. And I think this season would be going differently. I really do. But I, with a new staff and Dre Greenlaw out and then all of the injuries they've had and the negative juju of August and all of these things, and whether it's a Super Bowl hangover and overconfidence, none of these things are excuses, but they are reality of you're in a spot and you got to get your way out of it. And I would argue that through the last handful of years, you know who's really, really good at getting out of a 3-4 spot? I can think of a coach who's awesome at it. Kyle Shanahan. This is what he has actually done better than anything he does, which is get to about 7 or 8 games in the season, have a big old bleep burger, and then work his way out of it and go to the playoffs. He's done that really well. And I'm not saying I expect him to do it again, but damn it, wouldn't be surprised. And I'm certainly going to sit here and wait and find out.
Of course. But
because the scenario is like, so to me, this is small picture, not big picture right now.
Well, for me, the picture is pretty big when you go 7 games in and a lot of the things have become thematic with this team. And you do have a new defensive coordinator, a guy who's never coordinated before. And now he is your DC. And so last year, love Steve Wilks or hate him, but he's a guy who had decades in the National Football League. And he had a tremendous amount of experience, and the same thing with the two previous coordinators. And I look at a special teams group that continues to make gigantic mistakes week in and week out, and I wonder where the responsibility for that falls. And ultimately, it falls on Kyle Shanahan.
Sure.
And this 3-4 feels a lot different to me than last year's 3-4 and a previous time when they went 3-5 2 years ago, whatever, when they were 3-4. You get the point. This one feels different to me because your team looks a little bit older. We've had people come on our station and say they look slow and you're sloppy and now you're injured. So I look at this team in this spot and they could go out there and run the table. They could wind up and be 13-4. They're allowed to do so and win 10 in a row to wrap up the year. But the mistakes I see week in and week out are a lot more troubling than what we've seen in previous years.
A fun question on the Comcast business text line from the 402, and they'll go back to the phones. Who wins the Super Bowl first? And this person is going on a premise of, okay, fire Shanahan guy, let's do it. Who wins the Super Bowl first? The team that immediately gobbles up Kyle? Or the Niners without him? Who are you putting your money on?
Probably the Niners without him.
Oh, gosh. I would completely bet on the other team.
Well, it depends on which other team. Because usually a team that would be in the market for a new head coach is a team that is rebuilding. So
maybe.
Kyle's not going to walk into a great turnkey situation. Usually good teams don't fire their head coach.
You know, fair. But I would argue that whatever situation he jumps into next, it'll be a hell of a lot better than the one he got when he arrived here. I mean, he was rosterless.
Now, if you want to say here which team loses in the Super Bowl first,
that's funny.
Now I got a different answer for funny. It. Thank you, Grandy. I didn't want to finish it. Appreciate it, Grandy. A 4 from Grandy's really a 5.
Number 4.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Let's
put a smile on my face, Tips. Thanks.
Right on, Grandy. I'm trying.
Everything's better. We're ready for week 8.
Let's go.
Thank you, Deborah Claus. Let's go to Sean in Danville. Hi, Sean. What are you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up?
Nothing much. I'm just, listening to you guys. Love you guys. And I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of Niner fans. I think we're just frustrated, especially with yesterday, about just it was a very winnable game. I think it was a very winnable game with a beatable Kansas City team. But we just, when we get turnovers, when we get penalties like we always do, shoot ourselves in the foot, we can't come back from that. Our team's not built that way. We can't even give a little bit, especially to even a mediocre Kansas City team at the time that didn't have all their weapons. Patrick Mahomes maybe didn't play his best game, but still. What I did like, and I don't know if you guys noticed it, is on defense we were starting to line guys up on different spots, namely Bosa. I saw him lined up in the middle, and he actually looped around on the third down and almost got to Patrick Mahomes, and I'd like to see things like that. We got to give offenses different looks on defense, and we can do it. And lastly, gentlemen, I want you guys to talk about this. What made me the most mad in that game was towards the end. Malik Mustafa. Malik Mustafa. I love him. He is, man, hard-hitting safety. He was knocking people out in the game. The last touchdown, Mahomes. And I felt, I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt Malik Mustafa held up because he didn't want to get a penalty.
Yep.
And then Mahomes just trucked him in the end zone. And, man, I was so mad at that. I mean, for me, at this point, take the hit. Lay him out. Hey, get a penalty. At that point, you know what? You got to hit him. Because if we can't get to him, you know what? At least we should be able to hit him, make him pick himself off the ground.
It's really, we're there. Yeah, it's an interesting subject, Sean, and a lot of people are talking about this. Thank you for the call. And I don't just mean yesterday. But the Mahomes run into the end zone, the Mahomes run that went 33 yards, the longest of his career, or take any other NFL game, has there sort of become a loophole in protecting the quarterback to where now these quarterbacks know. They know if they're up against the sideline. They also know if they're about to go into a slide. They know how to do it in such a way where they put the defenders completely at a deficit because they're like, well, I could either hit you and I'm going to get penalized, or I'm not going to hit you and I run the risk of you faking me out and running for 10 more yards.
Exactly.
It is. It's a tough pickle. It is hard to be a defensive player in the NFL right now. With
super
the rules.
Hard. Yeah, and I'm trying to pull it up here on my screen just to confirm, but I thought on...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The 1 yard Mahomes run. I thought he was already in the end zone when Malik Mustafa was coming over to lay the lumber.
It's pretty close, right on the goal line.
I just don't think that Mustafa is a guy who's going to turn down contact. And a few, go back to the game yesterday, he had two hits that were like Mustafa missiles where he just flies in and absolutely destroyed somebody. He's the closest thing to Drake Greenlaw that they have. And yeah, I'm looking at it here and it was right on the goal line. And I guess he did kind of get run over, but he's coming at a 45-degree angle. So even if he lights him up, Mahomes is going to score anyway, but maybe there was some reluctance over not wanting to draw the 15.
I just don't know what you do about it,
right?
Because I understand that, you know, the NFL may look at this even and be like, well, boy, it's not fair. And you know what their answer would be? but tough cookies.
Right, but Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, like you did. I know that we want, oh, rough, tough football. Come on, back when men were men. You know what the networks want? They want the quarterbacks to play. I mean, Jaden Daniels might miss this Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams matchup that's supposed to happen this weekend. And that sucks. It's nobody's fault.
Right.
Nobody hit Jaden incorrectly or anything like that. But
you got
like,
the ribs, right?
Yeah, and he's week to week, and right now they're hopeful that he can play. But the bottom line is this is still entertainment, and the league wants the quarterbacks in. They don't want them hurt. It's not – you know, the whole – XFL thing, Jeff Brom or whatever, you know, is this or is this not the XFL? Like, nobody thinks that's funny anymore. It's funny to listen to now. Nobody wants the quarterback, like the Tua thing. Nobody wants that.
Right.
That makes everybody cringe.
Yeah.
And it makes the Dolphins unwatchable.
That's right.
For 6 weeks now.
Well, now the Browns are going to be without Deshaun Watson.
Well, they may be better, but anyway.
They might be, but yeah. As far as, you know, star quarterbacks go, and that's just an Achilles, not just an Achilles, but that's not the same thing as, you know, going out there and lighting somebody up. Like Bill Romanowski used to say on the station when we had him on a weekly, sometimes you got to take a 15, okay? And just the way he would go about it. And, you know, it's kind of an old school thing, and nowadays you just don't go about doing that. And the product is better for it. You don't want your quarterback taken out.
No, but I get it. I feel for the defensive guys. Maurice in Sacktown. What's up, Maurice? Thank you for calling.
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to call, and this is, you know, this is more about Kyle. And I'm always skeptical of people who don't change. It's like when the news say, the weatherman say it's going to rain, and you put out your clothes for the next day for a rain, and then it's sunny outside, but you still wear your rain clothes. like it's troubling to me. Like he doesn't have a feel for the game. There's a couple ways to complain. You can do it verbally. You can do it with your body language. He does it when he calls plays. And the biggest difference I saw yesterday was when you saw Andy Reid calling plays, it's like he's scraping at the bottom of the barrel. Like he's trying to come up with, I'm not just talking about the run plays. I'm talking about the pass plays. He's scheming ways to get Noah Gray the ball. I don't even know who that guy is. It's weird. We talk about the receivers. Oh, the receivers aren't getting separation. But it's like, wait, dude. You don't do no screen passes. You don't do no end arounds. You don't do any bunch situations when you always sending a guy in motion. How about you send a guy in motion across the field so it's harder for somebody to cover him man coverage? He just, I don't look, and I'm coming up with this stuff. And it's like, does he not see it? And this brings me back to, you had, I think it was three callers ago, you were talking with a guy, and he was saying that, you know, we want Ben Johnson. And this, I mean, I haven't done my research on any of the coordinators. But he was saying, I don't think Kyle is the correct quarterback for Purdy. I don't think he is either. I think Purdy's potential, mentally, I think he dumbs that down. And Tom Brady pointed this out when we played Arizona. He praised Arizona for how they were giving Kyler Murray the keys to the ignition. He was checking out of plays. You see this from Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. You, of course, see this from Patrick Mahomes. It's like Purdy has to go to the line and just run the play. There's no checks. It's like if it's a run play to the left, and they got seven dudes over there to the left, we're still running over there. And I think Purdy's at the ability to where he can actually check out of stuff. I don't think Kyle's ever going to get there with him.
Well, you know what's fascinating about your call, Maurice? You know what's fascinating about your call, though? We're like still in the twilight of people saying that Brock Purdy is a concoction of Kyle Shanahan. And now you're saying Kyle's not the right guy for him. Most people think that Kyle's the reason that Brock Purdy is good.
Jimmy, a guy like Jimmy, I think Purdy can actually mentally be very good before the snap when looking at defenses. Because he does it when he's throwing the ball. But I don't think Kyle's going to allow Purdy to bring that out in his game. I don't think Purdy is just another robot. You just say, go out there, run my play. I think he can actually make checks before the play. And I don't think Kyle knows how to develop quarterbacks that way. That's an issue.
Maurice, thank you. He actually has said that he prefers that the play be run as called and the quarterback knows where the hot is. If, you know, he gets to his first read and it's taken away by the defense, then the play is designed for him to go elsewhere with the ball. It's not so much that he goes out there and changes it and checks out of stuff. And if it's a run play, run the run play, and you count on your guys to win and make the play actually work.
I mean, there's decisions sort of like within the play, not decisions necessarily before the play. And we forget. I mean, this is still a young player. Like, I think that there's more on his shoulders and more on his plate now than there was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But we're still talking about someone who's in his first 30 games as a professional football player. And to your point, that is the way that Kyle does stuff. And I can tell you, like, to hear that today, where it's like Kyle's not the right guy for Brock, sort of like discounts what we've heard, 28 NFL people
exactly
over the last 1 year, calendar year, say what? Boy, Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan are the absolute perfect marriage of one another. Perfect coach for the quarterback, perfect quarterback for the coach. I'm still going to lean on that despite yesterday's frustration. What's up, Grandy?
To go back to what the caller was talking about, Shanahan has addressed in the past quarterbacks and allowing them to check out an audible at the line of scrimmage, and he even mentioned it with Matt Ryan when he was the OC at Atlanta.
Yeah.
He's given their quarterbacks, and who knows exactly what's happened with Brock, at least as you were talking about, maybe when he was first starting as a rookie, he's given quarterbacks the option to have that power, but his thought process, and he's talked about this a couple of times, is the quarterback has so much to worry about. I'm going to take that off their plate and just allow them to focus on the play that's called, and you'll run that play better. And I remember him telling a story with Matt Ryan. He had this same conversation with Matt Ryan and allowed him to try both. And Matt Ryan ultimately found that he liked it better when he didn't have to worry about all that extra stuff. I could just go out there and focus on that one play.
I mean, look, there's obviously some intricacies to this that those of us with televisions don't see. And so maybe this is a fault of mine, but I am going to lean on just the oodles and oodles of NFL personnel who have consistently said for years, man, Kyle really knows what he's doing when he's drafting an offense. I think the one thing that we can really question is not whether or not Kyle Shanahan understands offense, whether he knows how to put a quarterback in a good position to win. I think all of that stuff has been proven over and over. The idea of the adjustments when chaos comes up, that to me is the interesting topic. Because that's, to me, that's where we've seen struggles. When you're trailing, when people are committing penalties, when you're in second and 20 as opposed to first and 10, when you're down by 8 points in the fourth quarter, that's when I want to know, why does that not look better? That to me is where the conversation lies.
And it's because his offense isn't built for that. It's not built for chaos. His offense is built the way Kansas City's was yesterday. And if you just want to watch what Kyle would like to do offensively, go back and look at the Chiefs and their final two drives when they ran the ball almost every single play. The first touchdown drive that made it 21-12, they threw it three times. And on the final drive that made it 28-12, they threw it two times. And other than that, it was Kareem and Steele and a little bit of P. Ryan, and it was just straight ahead, smash mouth, push you off the ball football, which is what Kyle wants to do. But they couldn't do it yesterday because Kansas City's defense was denying the run. The one thing that I agree with Maurice on is, where are the screens? Where are the quick throws? Where is the passing game ingenuity? Because I was just looking at the intended air yards per attempt.
Yeah.
And they're up this year for Brock Purdy by a yard and a half per throw. They're throwing the ball in the air a lot more down the field than they did last year, and it's not really working all the time.
No, and
so how about some quick screens and, like, you know, maybe a quick pop and get the ball into somebody's hands and let the yak actually happen again?
I don't disagree with you at all. I would guess, like, if Kyle was given that question that you just threw out, my guess would be that's a personnel thing. You know, it's like you just said, the kind of play you want to run, who are the two 49ers?
It's Debo and McCaffrey.
Thank you. And then one of them has not been there at all, and the other one has been totally in and out all year. I do wonder if you might start putting a little small, like a mini package for that kind of stuff with Jacob Cowing.
Exactly.
Just because he's your fastest guy.
Like a jet sweep.
Yeah, like I'd love to see that, but he's barely in. They don't make a package for the guy who's been in like 4% of the snaps all year long.
Yep.
But here we are, you know, and if Debo's out again this week, yeah, maybe you see that on Sunday night. So that, I mean, I agree with you there, but I think that would be his answer, which is like, we don't have remember what was it, what playoff game was it where they came out and ran one of the sweeps to Debo, but Debo wasn't in the game, so it ended up being Juwan?
Yeah, that was the first play of the half,
I think. Was that the Packers game or the Lions game?
I think it was the Lions game, but it was one of those two.
One
for
of those.
Sure.
Y'all remember the play I'm talking about, and it looked ridiculous.
Jet sweep to Juwan, and he lost like 7 yards.
Exactly.
And it was
You got to have the personnel to run that package.
But they do have the personnel.
Do they?
They do. Is Jacob Cowing not active every game? And here's my thing. Andy Reid, and Andy Reid's got Mecole Hardman. They got stuff that he's doing.
Right. Mecole Hardman's been in the league for like 5 or 6 years.
But Jacob Cowing has the ability to run really fast. Fast and get the ball and then keep running really
run
fast.
Run really fast. But again, I'm going to always do this with rookies when we go, oh, they've got that skill set. We don't know.
Xavier Worthy was able to, in the first game of the year.
Yes.
Here, take the ball with your 4-2 speed and go score.
So now first round draft pick and right the fourth round draft pick. Like Xavier Worthy, the plan for him was very different than the plan for Jacob Cowing.
Right, but it's because they made plan.
But because they repped that in practice and worked on that for weeks leading up to it. Cowing barely gets any reps with Brock.
Right.
Barely any.
But
ever.
Why? Who doles out the reps?
Well, but
it's Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, so we should now.
We should maybe, I don't know, get the guy ready to do something with his speed.
At the expense of the people you think are going to play. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, but
you're not going to put Debo.
You're going to at least give
him practice.
Just maybe try a couple of plays. Give him a spot to maybe do something.
I get it.
Well, you're going to have to now.
Yeah,
because now you don't have anybody.
Well, maybe. I don't know what Debo's going to do this week.
Well, he's in the hospital right now.
Yeah, right now.
Hopefully he gets better.
Yeah. John in Napa, I think, wants to talk about this very subject. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I want to give a quick shout-out to Derek and Will that are listening. But I want to talk about Baldy said something last week that really troubled me, where he was breaking down the plays in the end zone and at the previous game, and was just kind of like, he was like, bottom line, I don't know what the play is supposed to be, and that scares me, right? It's where you have a point where if you break down a play, even if it doesn't work, you should be able to know where it's supposed to go. And even he, as an NFL analyst, is like, I don't know what's supposed to happen on this play. And I'm switching tactics here because I was going to talk about we need screen passes. We need, and you guys covered that. Also, for Kyle Shanahan, I do not want him fired or anything. That's the last thing you do. It's not the first thing you do. Is there corrections that need to be made within the personnel? Maybe. I'm not sure exactly what the first ones are, but at the end of the day, I really think that we have to be, you know, I don't want to go to Jim Tomsula days. I remember Trent Baalke standing there and saying, this is a playoff caliber team, and people on the staff didn't even know how to spell Jim Tomsula's name, and it was a whole mess. So I'm grateful to be where we're at. At the same time, we've learned to expect better, and I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I do too, John. John, thanks. I mean, I would imagine that that all the things we're talking about, they're looking at them as well. You'd hope. I mean, sure. Again, my question about Kyle Shanahan is why does it seem like you have such a hard time in these chaotic situations, which, again, those are the harder situations, but it seems like other teams have a little bit of an easier time with them than you do. So that's where the question needs to be asked. If you're going all the way back to the beginning and questioning, like, just the entire, like, turns out I don't think Kyle's a very good coach at all. Like, he's not. It's like, wait a minute. There's just way too many questions to answer about why this has been so good for so long to ask that. And I'm sure they're trying to answer those questions. I hope they are. And the personnel is a very, very big piece of that. Like, it's one thing to be missing people, and then it's another thing to be missing people that you didn't know you were going to be missing. And I don't think there's anything harder for an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
When you get a late scratch and then you get a big-time injury right before halftime.
Your game plan is around people who then suddenly aren't in the game.
But it is incumbent on you as a head coach to have your backups prepared. And,
no doubt.
I'm thinking about, a basketball team with a head coach who has been accused of not necessarily loving his younger players. And so you get into a spot where sometimes you need them to be up and ready, and that's what is happening with the Niners now. Pearsall, you played him more than you wanted, and Cowing, you're going to have to start playing him more, it looks like, and Garendo is going to have to tote the ball more if, J.P. Mason has shoulder restrictions going into this game.
Seemed like he was okay yesterday.
He was all right.
Yeah,
I don't think that he was as physical as he normally is.
Yeah, I don't know. He did look a little hesitant at times. I don't know if that's the shoulder or the fact that he was going up against a much better defense.
Very good defense.
There were no holes.
Yep.
There were no holes early in that game. Finally, he busted through some toward the end. Speaking of basketball coaches, Steve Kerr, in 23 hours and about 30 minutes, about 23 hours and 30 minutes, Steve Kerr, with his first weekly session here on Willard and Dibbs, every week, all year long, and he will do his first tomorrow night at 5 o'clock.
I don't care.
Well, I do, because the opener is Wednesday.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I do. I really do. I care a lot. And so that is tomorrow at 5 as we get ready for the opener on Wednesday. And by the way, the Warriors right now are
a sight for sore eyes.
Kind of a glass of fresh water on a hot day.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
Totally. So
looking forward to that tomorrow. And they open up at Portland Wednesday.
Oh,
and
sorry.
You'll hear that right here on 95.7 The Game. We'll play the schedule game tomorrow with Steve.
I've got him at 80-2.
Yeah, there you go.
I do. That's the way I look at
sports. And those two losses, I'm sure, will just be a forfeit, because there's no way any team would ever beat them.
No. Steph Curry, load management.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul in Palo Alto. Hi, Paul. What are you doing?
Hey guys. Just listening to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sweet, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening to everything you've been saying about Kyle, and my take on it is he's a great head coach. He's great at putting together all the bits and pieces and training and planning and prepping and, hiring the right personnel, picking great players. I don't think he's a great offensive coordinator. I think he has an abysmal record in close fourth quarter games. He has not done well in big games throughout his entire career. and his play calling's been highly questionable in tight, big games, even pre-Niners. So I think, like I said, he's a strong head coach. I don't think he, when in crunch time, I don't think he's the strongest offensive coordinator.
Yeah, there are questions in there. Paul, thanks so much.
Always an interesting one.
Well, take my opinion out of it. So forget me for a second. I want to ask you a question, Dan.
Okay.
All right.
He's 12-8 and 8-4 in the playoffs.
Okay.
So
he's never won big games and loses all the close games. I get it. I don't want to be sarcastic. I understand.
Yeah.
They're close games. They're trailing. There is some history of problems in those moments. If Kyle Shanahan is not a good play caller, if he's not a good offensive coordinator, if he doesn't know what he's doing in close games, why does everybody in the league think he's one of the best? Forget my opinion.
Yeah.
Forget me. I genuinely want an answer to that.
Well, probably because, and I'm looking at the stats right here, over the last 6 years, Here's their rank in yards, offensive yards. And I think yards are important to be able to gain yards.
They're
usually
big.
Yards lead to points. They are 4th, 15th, 7th, 5th, 2nd, and 3rd in yards, offensive yards in the NFL.
Okay.
The one year that they weren't, they were 15th. That was 2020, and that was the year of the injury when they had no quarterback. As far as I can remember, that was the year that they lost Jimmy Garoppolo early
right.
in the year.
And the other years where they were all top 10 with a guy who now is a backup in the league.
Correct.
And everybody thinks is not a good football player. Now we've, right?
Interesting, though, the caller, as he was saying it, I think he's a better offensive coordinator than he is a head coach. And he's a very good head coach. I think he's an elite offensive coordinator. And if I was going to look at areas of improvement for Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinating would not be high on the list.
I agree with you.
It would be other things I think that he needs to get better
at. That's a genuine question from me. I wondered if, you know what I mean? We have a lot of NFL analysts, people who played the game on all of our shows. Do a lot of you think that all of them are lying to you? It's just a question. I don't mean it to sound leading or sarcastic. I really mean that. Is that how you feel? Because that's the whole league thinks he's amazing. The whole league thinks that. But I get it on a frustrating day if you feel otherwise. More calls, some final thoughts coming up. Willard and Dibs.